again today. We've enjoyed our times that we've had the opportunity to come and share. I want you to pray for me this morning. I left my sermon notes over there with my wife because God said you've got to go a different direction this morning. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Very familiar words. We just heard them in the song that the choir just shared with us. What a blessing these words are. Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1. David writes these words. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting unto them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commands, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all His host, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Will you pray with me? Father, I pray now that You would take Your word and speak to each of our hearts. Lord, I know that You have something for each of us today. Your word says that whenever Your word is cast abroad, it'll not come back void, but it will accomplish that which You've intended. And Lord, we claim that promise this morning. We don't know exactly what You're up to today, but we know You're up to something, God, and we just wait to see what You're going to do. We're excited because we feel Your presence in this place. We know You're here, and now, Lord, just make Yourself known to each of us. Speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's one in this number today that needs to mend something in their relationship with You, I pray it'll be done before they leave this place today. I pray that we'll all go away rejoicing, saying, "Truly, it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord." And God, we just await You to move among us now and speak to our hearts, praying for Your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. These are some awesome words of Scripture. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Do we bless the Lord every day? We should. And David gives us all kinds of reasons. You know, he says, "Bless the Lord and forget none of His benefits." We should praise God every day for all of His benefits upon us. He keeps us from destruction. Anybody have a close call this week when you were out in your car? It's amazing. Sometimes when we're having a little testimony time over at Love Baptist, where Frieda and I attend, when I'm not having the opportunity to preach somewhere, you know, Pastor Don will open up and just say, well, has anybody had a blessing this week? Or does anybody have a word that they need to share with the brethren? And it's amazing how many times somebody will get up and share something that God has done that's just remarkable. One of my favorite little ladies, and if I say Miss Wendy, Frieda knows who I'm talking about. I'm not sure how old Miss Wendy is, but she's older than me, so she's getting on in years a little bit, okay? But she's just full of life and just has a bubbly spirit and personality about her. One Sunday morning, the praise team was up on the pulpit warming up before the service, and they were singing just a real up-tempo song. I think it was, I think they were singing, He Set Me Free, Yes, He Set Me Free, and the music was upbeat, and they had the drums and the guitars going, and Miss Wendy was coming in, and she was just bubbling, and she came up to me, and I reached to shake her hand. Well, when I did, she took my hand and did a little pirouette under my hand, just, you know, she was just dancing in spirit. She was so full. And then she shared, she had been driving her car that week. And a lady came out of a side street, ran a stop sign, hit the back end of her car, spun her around in the road, and she ran into the side of a building and came out without a scratch, but just tore her car clean up, you know, just tore it up. But God is good. And she's just trusting God to provide her another car. She don't have any money to speak of or anything, but she's just trusting God. She doesn't forget God's benefits. And if we'll stop and think, we've had some close calls in life where, you know, God spared us. He kept us from destruction. Or someone we love dearly, He kept them from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God doesn't give us what we've really got coming. You know, man, I'm thankful for grace and the amazing grace that made it possible for me to be saved. But I'm especially grateful for God's mercy, that God doesn't give me what I really deserve, what I've really got coming. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I was deserving of hell, but God took me off of that road to hell and put me on the road to heaven. You know? My salvation experience wasn't a Damascus Road experience like Paul went through. But you know, it's just as real in my heart as what Paul experienced. I remember that night that I was just a young person, probably 13 years old, roughly. I can't remember the exact day. I'm not one of those people that's blessed with a memory where I can tell you the day and the hour and everything when I got saved. But I know I was in Benton's Crossroads Baptist Church, and it was a weeknight during revival services, and I heard that preacher speak, and I heard that I needed Jesus, that my soul was lost and on the road to hell, and the only way for me to get off that road and on the highway to heaven was to get Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And I walked the aisle that night, and my pastor, Vance Edwards, was down there standing at the front. That revival preacher had finished his message, and Preacher Vance was down there. And I said, Preacher Vance, I need to get saved. And let me tell you, he got on his knees with me in that altar, and he led me to Christ. And I love that little man. And we lived away from Monroe for a lot of years, but not long after we came back, I ran into Preacher Vance, and what a joy it was to see him. I'd gotten older, but he still looked the same, you know? And he was still just as much on fire for Jesus as he was the first day I ever met him. I'm thankful that God extended His loving kindness and tender mercies to me. And if you're a child of God, you thank Him for those same things. We've all got something to bless the Lord for. The Lord's merciful, it says in verse 8. He's gracious and slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Now, folks, we can't assume on God's grace. Sooner or later, we're going to have to pay the piper if we dance. You know that old saying, if you're going to dance, you've got to pay the piper. God is patient. And God is loving. Excuse me. And God is kind. But can I tell you, there is a limit to God's patience. God can only be pushed so far. He extends the opportunity for forgiveness again and again and again. He's not obligated to, but He does. Why? Because He's merciful and because He loves us. I like that verse that says, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want any of us to be lost. If He was willing for a person just to go to hell on a little whim, He would never have sent Jesus to die on the cross. That's how serious God is about seeing people come to salvation, about seeing people be redeemed from their sin. He gave His one and only Son to die on Calvary's cross. That's something we can bless the Lord for, because God loves and He's merciful and He's gracious. David said that. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. There is a limit to God's patience. Have you ever known somebody that God just kind of set on the shelf because they wanted nothing to do with Him? I've met some individuals like that. I had a real, well, still have, he's still living, but I have a dear friend. When he was a young man, in his probably right around 30 years of age, and he's in his 80s, or right near 80 now. But when he was a young man, God called him to preach. He knew it without a shadow of a doubt. And he was, like I say, a young man, small children, had a job making excellent money for that period of time. This would have been some 50 years ago, and he had a job that just paid extremely well. He made excuses. Well, God, I can't do this, and I can't give up that. And, you know, maybe later I'll continue to be a deacon. I'll keep on teaching Sunday school. I'll be faithful. I'll be it. And he kept making, you know, promises to God of this, that, and the other that he would do, but he wouldn't surrender his life to the ministry. And he told me one day, he said, you know, Pastor, he said, the greatest regret I have in my life is that I said no to God, because he said for years and years and years, I had an emptiness inside of me unlike anything I've ever experienced before, and I never want to experience it again. Because God offered him every opportunity, promised to provide everything he needed, and he just couldn't develop the faith to trust God to be who God said he was. And God put him on a shelf. And he said for years and years, 20 plus years, he said, I was the most miserable person you'll ever know. I went to church and went through the motions and it meant nothing. But you know, thankfully, God will not always chide, as it says there in verse 9. Neither will he keep his anger forever. This man made his peace with God. He sought God's forgiveness just as David did. If you want to see a man that really wanted God's forgiveness, a man who had the reputation of being a man after God's own heart, and you know what David did with Bathsheba and her husband and all that surrounds that event, you can read about it over in 2 Samuel. You know, David was a miserable person. He had walked away from the God that he loved, from the God that was the God of his nation, Israel. And he wrote Psalm 51 when he said, create in me a new heart, a clean heart, O God, and restore within me the joy of thy salvation. My friend had to pray that prayer and mean it. He got honest with God and God forgave him. He had some opportunities to do some lay preaching, doing pulpit supply and those kinds of things. The man was a rock-solid Bible scholar. He knew his Bible. I say did. He does know his Bible. And God's used him. But he hates those wasted years. How many of us have wasted years? Can I say something lovingly this morning, but very pointedly? So many times we get wrapped up in our own agenda and trying to do things our way, the things we want and how we want it, and we lose sight of what God wants and the things that God desires. You know? We get self-centered. We kind of push God to the side. David had to learn that God had to be preeminent. God had to come first. And folks, if we're ever going to be happy as Christians, we've got to make Christ first in our life. He's got to be preeminent. We've got to bless the Lord. Forget not His benefits. You know, when you get on over in that psalm, it says, as for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes over it and it's gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. Our lives are brief. God puts us here for a period of time. None of us know how long that time's going to be. You know, it says that as for man, the days of his life are 80 years, maybe by reason of strength, 80 years. That same psalm goes on to tell us, but teach us to number our days. You know, because we don't know how many days we're going to have. The important thing is that we make the most of every one. You know, every day God gives us is a gift. Now, I'm knocking on that door of 80 years. Lord willing, I'll make it in April. And I'm thankful. I hope I'm going to make 80 by reason of strength. And it'll be fine with me if I can keep my brain and my strength to go to 100. I'm not going to limit God on that. I love life, but I love something that's coming better. And so I'm not worried about how long I'm here. I'm just looking forward to there because I know when I get there, I'm never going anywhere else. You know, that's forever. But we need to learn to use our days, each day that God gives us as a precious gift. I was going to preach this morning about warnings, you know, alarms. And we've got some warning signs in our world today. And I was going to talk about all the political upheaval and all the things that are going on in politics. I was going to talk about problems in families and problems in the churches and problems in our individual lives. And that these things really aren't problems. These things are warnings. They're indicators that something is wrong. And I say all that to say this. As we live each day, we've got to understand that what we see as problems and all are just warnings that, hey, there's another day coming. And we need to be ready for that day that is coming. We need to see the signs and heed these times that we're going through. Not lose track of how brief life really is. If we get all wrapped up in fussing, fighting, and squabbling and doing all kinds of things that people do these days, we're not going to have time for serving God and loving God and loving our fellow man. You know, we're going to be distracted and sidetracked into doing all kinds of other things other than what God put us here to do. There's a problem in our world today, and the problem in our world is not all the things that we're seeing. These are symptoms that there's a problem. The problem in our world today is a simple little three-letter word, and eyes in the middle of it. That word is sin. I, right in the middle of it. You are right in the middle of it. S-I-N. If we want to eliminate the problems in our world today, we need to take care of the sin problem in our world today. We can't do but so much on our part, but we can tell people about their need of a Savior. And the more people that get saved, the better this world's going to be. You know? We can take care of a lot of problems in our nation if we could just learn to love each other. What do? We look at the color of skin, the length of hair, tattoos and piercings, you know, nationality, language. We look at all these surface things. Folks, I'm glad we don't get into heaven based on surface things. We've got to learn to get past the surface and get to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. We need to help some people get their hearts right. And we need to get our individual hearts right. I can't love God the way that I'm supposed to if I don't love you the way I'm supposed to. I believe it was Peter asked the question, how can a man love God who he has not seen if he can't love his brother who he has seen? You know? If we want to start getting ready for heaven, we need to start getting right with our fellow man. You want to see a change in America. You want to see a change in your home. You want to see a change in your church. We need to go back to that old gospel song that says, Lord, send a revival, but let it begin in me. It's going to have to start in my heart and in your heart. That's where real change is going to come from. Our president, our Congress, the Supreme Court, they can't change things in America. They don't have that kind of power. If we want to see a change in America, it's got to start with people. I don't believe in trickle-down politics, folks. It's got to be a grassroots movement. It's got to start with the individual and work its way up from the poorhouse all the way to the White House. So that means it can start at my house and then go see where Mr. Trump is. It's got to be personal. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know what really breaks my heart sometimes? Is when I see brothers in Christ that can't stand each other, that just can't get along. Folks, there's something wrong there. You know, can we really love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength if we don't love one another? Time's short. We need to make some things right with folks. We flourish as a flower. And then the wind passes over it and it's gone. And the place don't even remember it's ever been there. Have you seen that happen? In my yard there's some buttercups coming up. Now I know it's going to turn cold and they're going to get killed. That's going to happen unless we continue to have this warm weather we've been having. And right now, I can take you out there and show you right where those buttercups are. They're going to come up right beside this dogwood tree. And when they make those pretty yellow flowers, they're going to be nice. But you know, come fall, after I've done run over the green stuff that's left behind after the flowers are gone, you know, there's no evidence they were ever there. Unless you dig below the surface and you find that tater, as some people call them, that's under the soil where that plant comes from. We've got a lot of people that I think are taters. They're lying under the surface. We used to know them. We used to love them. We used to care for them. We used to see them. But somehow they've disappeared out of our life. We need to go back and dig up those taters. We need to go back and find them. Have you got some friends in Christ that you haven't seen in a long, long time? Maybe you need to pick up the phone and give them a call. Send them a note. Renew that friendship and relationship. People come to church, and some will sit over here and some will sit over there and may never speak to each other in the course of a week. But do you miss them when you look and you see they're not over there? If you do, that's good. If you don't, you need to talk to that person a little bit. Make it a point. Let each other know you love them and you care for them. This church has been going through a process for over a year now. Search for a new pastor. There's been ups and downs, I'm sure. I don't know because I haven't talked to anybody on the search committee or I haven't even asked any church members, I don't think, about how the process is going. But you know, from past experience, I've seen churches that's a process that unfortunately causes problems sometimes. Disagreements between members, some that don't like the way things are going, others that think the process is going too fast, some that thinks the process is going too slow. Folks, I want to offer just a word of encouragement today. Don't you do anything that God says do it. You follow His guidance and His direction. He's got the right man for you. And at the right time, He'll put you together. But in the meantime, let me encourage you just to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and hug on each other and love on each other and pray for each other. You need to be closer now than ever. You see, this is a flock that needs a shepherd. Right now, you're just going to have to help each other and stay together as a group because there's safety in numbers. It's when the flock starts kind of coming apart a little bit that there can be problems. But love one another. Hug on each other. Stay close. Spend more time in fellowship than ever before. And then when God does bring you that man that He has for you, jump on him not with both feet, but jump on him with loving arms. You welcome him. You pray for him. You support him. Encourage him. You be there for him. Because if he's the man that God sent him here, he's going to be there for you. You know, it's that kind of a deal. God puts church and individual together. And it's in my book, it's just like a marriage. That kind of a relationship. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of His benefits. King James says, forget not all His benefits. Well, all, any, makes no difference. Don't forget anything God has done for you. If there's one thing that blesses you or me as a parent, it's when our child comes and wants to hug on us and say, I love you, Daddy, or I love you, Mama. Thank you for whatever it was that you did, you know. Doesn't it just bless your heart when they come up and they start saying how much they love you? It blesses God's heart when you come up and you bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that's within me. You know, sometimes when we worship, and I've had to learn this. I was one of those old, I won't say hard shell conservative Baptist, but I've learned how to raise my hand since I went to Love Baptist Church. And I'm not embarrassed anymore. And it doesn't bother me. I always have love when I'm preaching for somebody to say, amen, Pastor, or praise the Lord. You know, somebody give you some feedback. But I've always been slow about expressing my worship. But you know, Jesus says if we're ashamed of God, or if we're ashamed of Him down here before man, He's going to be ashamed of us before His Father. I sure don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. And I'm learning to say praise the Lord. And I don't have to say praise the Lord. I can just lift my hand, and that's what it means. You know, bless the Lord, O my soul. David finished that psalm again with words of praise, with words of worship. He starts out right there in verse 20. And it's going to remind us of something, and we'll see what the Lord does. We may just have to do it. But in verse 20, he says, bless the Lord, ye angels, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. He starts out by saying, bless God, all ye heavenly hosts. Then he says, bless ye the Lord, all His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. He's saying to the angels, hey, you guys have a ringside seat with God. Now praise Him in the highest. Then in verse 22, bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Does that not even mean for nature to bless God? Hey, when we see some of the beautiful sunrises and sunsets that God puts out there for us, man, that's just the sky showing out for God and praising God. When we see the beautiful flowers, that's nature just lifting hands of praise to God and blessing God. And then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. We're to bless God. You know, I don't think many churches do it anymore. But it used to be an old Baptist tradition that every time we took up the offering, when the ushers were coming down front to receive the offering, what'd we do? Sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him above, or no, praise Him below ye, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye, heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You see, we hadn't sung it enough in so long that I'm getting even rusty on the words. Sing it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We got to say amen. So be it. Let it be so. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. I hope we'll go away from this place today praising and blessing God, for He's truly worthy of all praise, worthy of all glory, worthy of all honor. There's no one like Him. But you know, I got to say one other thing before we close. You can't bless God, and you can't praise God if you don't know Him personally. And the only way to know God personally is, first of all, recognize that you're a sinner. You don't deserve heaven. You deserve hell. You deserve total separation from God. But know, secondly, that God loves you so much, He doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want you to be separated from Him. John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus goes on to say to Nicodemus, but God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus in John 14:6 says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He's the only way of salvation, folks. And it's only through faith in Jesus and what He did at Calvary that we can receive God's gift of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We come to Christ through faith, and because of God's grace and His great mercy, He offers salvation if we'll put our faith and trust in Jesus. And this morning, if you've never made that commitment to Christ, you need to do that. You need to know that He loves you and He wants to save you. But our God and our Savior is such a perfect gentleman that He will not force His salvation upon anyone. It's a gift, just like those verses from Ephesians said. It's a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. And He wants to give you that gift of eternal life today, that precious gift of salvation. But you have to receive it. Revelation 3:20 paints a beautiful picture. If you've seen that painting of Jesus standing at a wooden door, knocking on that door. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man opens unto me, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me. But if you notice that picture real closely, you'll see that there's no knob on that door. The door has to be open from the inside. Jesus isn't going to come barging into your heart's door. You and I have to open the door to Him and invite Him in. And if you've never made that decision or commitment today, I just encourage you, ask Jesus into your heart. Admit your sins to God and ask His forgiveness. And then receive that forgiveness and that gift of eternal life that only He can give. You'll never regret making that decision. It's the greatest decision a person will ever make in their life, one that has eternal consequences. Because the Bible clearly teaches when we die and our soul leaves our body, it's going to go to one of two places. It's either going to go to paradise, and in due time, and we'd need another 2 hours to preach about heaven and hell and all the implications. But that soul's going to paradise to be with the Lord if they know Jesus. But if they don't, it's going across that great chasm to a place of eternal separation from God, eternal torment in a lake of fire that we call hell. There's only two destinations. But Jesus provided a way that we can avoid the latter. He loves us that much that He was willing to die for us. Will you avail yourself of that offer of salvation this morning? Will you come to Jesus? I want to have just a short prayer, and then I'm going to stand here at the front if there's any way that I can help. There are deacons here. Brother Larry's here. Someone would be glad to get with you and pray with you and help you on the way. If there's something I can do, I'll be glad to pray with you and share with you and answer questions about becoming a Christian. I just pray that you'll let God have His way. Will you pray with me? Father, I just pray now that Your precious Holy Spirit would just move upon the hearts of those that need to hear from You in a very real and a very dramatic way today. Let Your Holy Spirit do His work of conviction in the life of that one that needs Jesus as their Savior. Perhaps, Lord, there's a Christian here that's somehow allowed themselves to get out of fellowship with You, or maybe even with one of their fellow men, and that's being a hindrance to their relationship with You. I pray, God, that they would just open their hearts today and seek reconciliation with You and with others. That they would commit themselves afresh and anew to living for You and serving You. And God, we're just going to give You praise now and give You the glory for whatever might be done here. All the credit.